We hit Evanston, the first suburb of Chicago proper, which is mainly separated from Chicago by the presence of trees on the streets and a few more homes than high-rises. But given that it's only a block or two away from the heart of Second City, the addition of trees and homes made it feel more like a park nestled down at the feet of the city. I guided Sue into a gentler left turn onto Sheridan, slowing down enough to be sure that we wouldn't swerve off the street. As Sue headed in, I was suddenly struck with a realization of how fragile those homes seemed. Good Lord, another driving accident like the one back in town would result in a home being crushed and not just some dents and broken windows. We would be moving among precisely the people I was trying to protect. Families. Homes with children and parents and pets and grandparents. Decent folks, for the most part, who just wanted to make their homes peaceful and secure and go about their lives. Of course, if I didn't hurry up and stop the Dark Hollow, every house I was now passing would be filled with its dead. I checked the sky during the next long flicker of lightning and didn't like what I saw. The clouds were spinning faster, more broadly, and unnatural colors and striations had appeared in their formation, and we were almost under its center. I guided Sue down another side street, and that's when I felt the cloud of power gathering before me. It swirled and writhed against my wizard senses, sending tingling shafts of heat and cold and other less recognizable sensations running through me. I shuddered at the disorienting strength of it. There was magic being wrought ahead, a lot of it.
"There!" Butters shouted, pointing. "Down that way! That whole block is the campus!"
Lightning flashed again as I turned Sue down the street, and it was over the dinosaur's broad head that I saw wardens battling for their lives in the street ahead. They were in trouble. Lucio had them moving in a tight group around a cluster of Hell's Bells, around a group of children in colorful Halloween costumes. Morgan was at the head of the group, Lucio brought up the rear, and Yoshimo, Kowalski, and Ramirez were on the flanks. Even as I watched, I saw dozens of rotting forms lurch out of the shadows ahead of them and charge. More came running in behind them, letting out wails of mad anger. Lucio whirled to deal with them, and dear God, I suddenly saw the difference between a strong but somewhat clumsy young wizard and a master of the magic of battle. Fire lashed from her left hand, not a gout of flame like I could call up, but a slender needle of fire so bright that it hurt the eyes to see. She swept it in an arc at thigh level, and every one of the zombies coming behind went tumbling to the ground amidst crackling sounds of shattering muscle and singeing meat. Another wave surged up behind the first. Lucio caught one of them in a grip of invisible power and hurled the undead into the ones behind, sending more of them to the ground. But a pair of the zombies got through. Lucio ducked the grasping arms of the first, caught the thing by a wrist, and sent it stumbling aside with a twist of her body that reminded me of one of Murphy's moves. The second zombie drove a hammer-heavy blow at her head, but that slender blade she wore at her side swept up out of its scabbard and took off its arm at the elbow. Another move brought a chiming surge of some power I could feel even from half a block away, singing through the silver steel of her sword, and she flicked it lightly at the zombie's head. The blade touched, there was a flash of light, and the zombie abruptly fell limp to the ground, the magic that had animated it disrupted and gone. In less than 5 seconds, Lucio had simply wiped out 30 undead, and it hadn't even been a contest. I guess you don't get to be commander of the wardens by collecting bottle caps either. My eyes flickered back to the front of the group, where Morgan met the shock of another wave. His style was rougher and more brutal than Lucio's, but he got similar results. A heavy stomp of his foot sent a ripple through the earth that knocked undead to the ground like bowling pins. A gesture of his hand and wrist and a cry of effort drew grasping waves of concrete and earth up to clamp down on the fallen zombies. He closed his fist and the earth tightened, drawing back down into the ground, cutting and tearing its way through undead flesh and ripping the zombies to shreds. One of the creatures was still mobile, and with a look of contemptuous impatience on his face, Morgan drew the broadsword at his hip, the one used for executions of wizards guilty of breaking one of the laws of magic, paused a beat to get the timing right, and then swung once, twice, snicker-snack, and the zombie fell apart into a number of wriggling bits. Several others got through here and there, Kowalski hammered one to the ground with unseen force, while beside him Yoshimo twisted a hand and the branches of a nearby tree reached down of their own accord, wrapped around the undead's throat, and hauled it up off the ground. Ramirez, a fighter's grin on his face, lashed out with some kind of bright green energy I'd never seen before, and the zombie nearest him simply fell apart into what looked like grains of sand. As an afterthought, he drew his sidearm as a second creature charged him and calmly put two rounds into its head from less than 10 feet away. He must have been loaded up with hollow points or something, because the creature's head exploded like rotten fruit and the rest fell twitching to the ground. None of the zombies got within 10 feet of the terrified children.